proceeding to the next question, the one on the lease agreement. There was a question asked that the lease agreement was signed in April, and but the approval by council was done in March. Can you explain? So we wanted to make the explanation that no, the council approved the procurement of the premises in April, and the resolution of council gave the authority to the director to enter into and sign the lease agreement in his capacity as accounting officer. And the lease agreement was signed in the same month, but after the resolution by council.
We're going to ask you for the minutes and also for the lease agreement, including the signatures and the dates it was signed on. Continue.
The next question was asked by Honorable Kolabana. What is the plan of uncollected debt of 82 million? There is a 3-year plan that we have to resolve the uncollected debt. We do note that the debt as presented in the financial is high, but it's debt from since the beginning of SIRA. Because ever since SIRA was established, there has never been any write-off of debt, even though there were no collections in those some of the accounts. Some of these accounts of which were closed and deregistered during that period. The phase commenced in the year 2010-11, the year before the previous one, where we wrote off the security officer's book in the individuals. The phase 2 and 3 was for the previous financial year, and also in this financial year, where we are looking at the business debt, which will take us through those 2 years. We began with the writing off of the business in the previous financial year under review 2011-12, and the outstanding debt will be finalized this year. The process that we take there entails the agency. The agency gets information about who is the person who's owing us, how much, and their details. Then they do the tracing of those debtors. Where they don't find those debtors, then they then recommend to us that we cannot trace this person or the company has been closed, and so forth. Those reasons, when they're given to us, we assess the situation and then we recommend that those accounts were write off. The same process is continuing. It is running concurrently with also the collection of the current debt. So, because there are large problems, for instance, this previous financial year, we wrote off 6,005 number of accounts. So it's high volume. What we are doing, we absorb the old debt for tracing, but on the current debt that we're billing, we are doing it ourselves, and then we've got performance targets to say the account administrator deals with a certain portfolio, how much are they supposed to collect, and so forth. Perhaps maybe just to indicate to the committee what we've picked up in the trend. When government issues tenders for participation, we see a trend where people then come and pay our fees, because there's a letter that we call a letter of good standing, similarly to the one like a tax return certificate, but for purposes of our regulations or our act, which government departments require them to be in good standing to also have paid their fees. So in that way, that mechanism also assists us in collecting, because people come and pay so that they get the letter to submit their fees with government. We've also even engaged in, we started engaging with Treasury and also the Auditor General to assist us to see whether maybe we can put it as a Treasury practice note, so that it's a requirement for a person to have a letter of good standing for them to be awarded the bid if they are successful to close the loop and avoid where government spends money to people who are not in good standing with us.
Members, because I want to ask that we keep our follow-up questions. I want to finish these questions and just keep your follow-up question.
It wasn't a follow-up, just one thing of clarity. I just wanted to know...
Same. Can I ask that you just keep it, please?
The second question was that did you collect 84% of bill revenue? Yes, we did collect 84% of bill revenue in the previous financial year. The amount billed in total of revenue was 128 million, and the amount collected was 108 million, which represents 84%. The next question was that did you budget for contingencies for the four cases that are pending? Yes, the budget for the contingencies was is there with respect to the legal costs to pursue these cases.
Clarify for us, where does it reflect, because the Auditor General says she did it.
The budget, we have a budget for legal costs. It's not presented in the annual report.
Ms. Kulabana, you lost your temper when I said you can't ask follow-up questions. I will explain to you why. Because I was requested by the council that we give them an opportunity to answer the question. But clearly, we've tried to do it now. It's not possible. It's not possible. If you don't have a contingency budget, you don't have a contingency budget. It's not in your legal cost. Do you know what SAP's contingency budget is? Ms. Kulabana, your question of clarity.
All I wanted to know was a clarification on the plan. There's now uncollected debt of 82.5. Now, the claim was that actually relates to since STIRA began. So you're telling me that this amount that is reflected in each annual general report, which was previously 75.5, is the same amount simply getting bigger, or is it a separate amount every year? I don't understand how you can sort of carry it through year after year. That's all the explanation I wanted.
The if you look at our book, the legacy debt is old, so it's not, we are not carrying it forward. It only carries forward to the extent that we didn't write it off, so it is not growing. What is happening is that we keep it in the books so that we complete the administrative process that are indicated. The ones related to confirmation that the person cannot be traced, and then we suspend we follow the partial route of informing the party, and then come to the point of writing off.
Members, I'm going to ask the following: that they revise us, because that doesn't make sense either. You just said. The person can't be traced, and we follow the prior road, we inform the person. But the person can't be traced. The following is what we want. A breakdown. Oldest debt, the year. The value. With other words, how many companies, how many individuals, the value of them. What amount is written off? The value of that that's written off. The deregistration following that, how many companies, individuals have actually been deregistered for each of these outstanding years, including the year that you are reporting on? The debtors days.
Where did your 45 days and they actually achieved 600 and 601, I didn't see that one, because it's also about writing off.
average number of the debtors days is calculated based on when the invoice was processed and how long it was outstanding and when the payment was made. Now, when we include the old debt, the amount, the average becomes large. Hence, we did not achieve the...
Stop these explanations. You didn't achieve it, bottom line. What the member is asking that is when you give up in the writing this, you also add that. That's what she's asking. Continue, please.
There was a question from Honorable Sevilla that has the debt collection improved? Yes, if you look at the cash collection amounts, the cash collected in 2010-11 was 82.7 million. In 2011-12, the total cash collected was 108 million. So there was an increase from 82 million to 108 million. The other question was by Honorable Stuart Stuben, apologies. Please give a breakdown of consultancy fees and contracts that were terminated, when, why, and what is the service provider's name. The IT contract that was terminated, the name of the service provider was DCSnet. They provided the services of IT because we did not have a fully fledged IT department at the time. They also provided IT personnel, which was fully contracted. This contract expired in August of 2011. The authority currently employs its own personnel on a permanent basis. So when it expired, we did not renew it. The amount paid under this contract in the 2010-11 financial year was 3.1 million, and in the year under review was 1.3 million because it ran only for 5 months of the financial year, and then we didn't extend it. We have a schedule that we brought with. If the committee allows us, we can provide you with the detailed breakdown of saying who, of the total 5.3 million in the financials, who was it, how much, and what did they provide for that, if the committee. So
we will definitely require that. The detail of every single contractor, not only the IT contractor. Honorable Stuber.
Just for clarity, you now said expired, but the document says it was terminated. Is it terminated or expired?
It expired, so the term of the contract came to an end.
To me, termination and expired is two different things. But
it's completely different. There's legal differences. So you're saying that it expired?
It's expired.
So why did you say in your document it was terminated?
I apologize.
Continue, please.
The other question was on the main question where by the Honorable Chairperson was on the discrepancies of the financials. In the morning, we handed out schedule to have a marked annexure A. Maybe just to start, we take note of the members' comments on the discrepancies. The explanation of the variances on the amounts is presented on the annexure. Our intention for the budget variance report, the slide that was presented yesterday, was to provide the committee with further details of the items of revenue and expenditure, which in the annual financial statement are aggregated on the financials. So we thought we would provide you with more detail. When compiling the budget hearings report, which are on the slide, certain items on the revenue, certain items of revenue and expenditure were aggregated differently from the annual financial statements. The reason for that is it was oversight on our part, because we presented it in a manner in which our management accounts are presented, not the annual financial statements. The annexures show what the amount on the slides are and reconcile back to the amounts that are in the slides. There is explanations there as well to just show that because of the format used in management accounting reports, how do we go back to the annual financial statement? There were no differences in terms of the total. For instance, the deficit was the deficit as presented in the annual financial statement. In future, we do agree that we will present the budget variance report with budget items of revenue and expenditure aggregated in the same manner that is presented in the annual financial statement. We apologize for any limitation to oversight which may have been caused by the format used by ourselves. The next question was, is the building, all buildings sold, what procedure was followed, if sold to whom, and for how much? No, the building has not been sold yet. The disposal of the building was put on tender in March through a bidding, competitive bidding process. The advertisement was placed on the government tender bulletin calling for interested parties to make offers to the patients. The process is not yet finalized.
Hello. In the last meeting we've had in the Marx building, when you were presenting your quarterly financial statements, last quarter of the previous financial year, first quarter of the financial year, I can't remember that floor, it's there in the Marx building where you guys normally also have meetings. We were told, yes, and I can get the minutes of that meeting, we can get some types of that meeting. The process has been finalized, but we haven't informed the successful bidder yet. We don't want to give you the name at this point, because then there can be issues around it. Now you tell us the process has not been finalized. That was 3 months ago when we had that meeting. 3 months ago. So which one is now the truth? And then again, if now is the truth, why did you lie to us on that day?
Perhaps let me indicate that the offers were received from the bid closed. We received an offer. The offer was subjected to the evaluation process. At the time of concluding, there was the issue of saying, at the time when you presented that was where the process was. We have the offers. The issues that we are standing is that when we sell the building, the two residential houses, because the stand has got three buildings. The one side has got the building that has been condemned. The other half has got two residential houses. When we relocated from the office, we moved people who were in the main building, but the people who were in the two offices were also moved. But we replaced those people with people who are going to provide the customer service. Customer service function for working people to come and register and so forth. Now, the process was embarked on in terms of when we sell the building, those people have to move as well. So we went on a process of tendering for the procurement final stage, because we have already found the, we have already evaluated now the new premises that have been proposed by the evaluation committee. What we, back to that, evaluation must be finalized less than the move of the people. And the other outstanding matter is also the, because it's a significant asset, in terms of section 54 of the PFMA, the minister must approve the disposal of significant assets. So that process has not been done.
With all due respect, you're really wasting our time. At that meeting, your words were, we have finalized the process, we know what the amount is, we can't tell you now, we will inform you, we first need to inform the bidders. And I mean, can I tell you? You found out that the minister had to sign off on it before you could dispose of it. Since then. Because like everything else, CIRA goes on its own. It doesn't follow government requirements. Like you did with renting the building. I'm sorry, this is not acceptable. It's really not acceptable. I've got my minutes here. I've got the same book here. Mr. George.
We are putting ourselves here. Probably, I don't want to take a bad financial, but in the state financial system, in this thing of a son and then another son, but the amounts are big. We don't even understand what does that mean. I don't want to take you back, Madam Chair, but we would like still again, when they give us a financial report, surely he must not use terms, especially the amount here is very big. 21,750,783 Sundry is up. Even there on top, there's something under Sundry. All of them are requesting, Madam Chair, probably they must give us some explanation. What is all this? Because it's a big amount. Sundry.
Let me start by looking at Anisha A. Professionally, what does SIRA mean? SIRA.
Security Industry Regulating Authority, it's them. Security Industry Regulating Authority, it's them. Them. I'm lying.
No, Chairperson. You are lying, Chairperson. What is SIRA?
Honorable members, you have no right to say that.
Sorry, we are not telling the truth, Chairperson. Firstly, the professionalism of the document that is in front of the committee. I'm asking that question on a professional manner because I want to understand that document before I ask any question about it. What does SIRA mean? Because it appears revenue reported and other income. It appears on both paragraphs. What does it mean?
The Honourable Lawyer is correct, and I'm sorry. I said I was lying because I was a serious peer. But thank you in any case, Mr. George. The fact of the matter is that we passed over this very quickly now. And if you look at again, you have other income. Other income. And then you have the same repetition of what is on top. And that's what the members are saying. And the other income. Now, what is coming to my mind is, are CIRA hiding money from Treasury? When you, at the end of last year, said to SAPS, we need money. And then suddenly you had enough money. What is happening here?
Chairperson, that was my question.
Yeah.
I asked it
because I wanted to get the answer and then come to the seekers. Now we have helped me to come to the seekers. Now if you come to the loose page, that I'm just completing my question. If you come to the loose page, the one page that Mr. George is referring to, is that a negative or is it a positive? 21 million. Is it a negative or positive? Sandra, is it negative or positive? If you do a balance sheet, is it a negative or a positive? I kind of don't understand it. That is why I wanted to get to the figures of it.
Can I help you understand what you are looking at? This document is supposed to explain what is meant by sundry income. It is said that it's of sundry income to be, but in this list, against other sundry income, then 20 points is sundry income. So how do you explain sundry income by sundry income? I mean, surely if you are, because this was meant to explain what is sundry income, but in this very same document, you've got sundry income, so I don't know, but Madam Chair, I'm sorry for taking you back.
No, you're not taking us back. I just don't want to lose the issue of the building, but can we get explanation? I saw the Deputy Chair's hand.
No, they can start with the building and then come.
Thanks, Chair. I was going to come back to the building issue. Chair, I think at that meeting I was present, and you were right. The comment was in response to whether the process has been finalised, that it was finalised, but the bidder, the successful bidder, has not been informed yet. We had a subsequent discussion as to the process and where it's going. And was informed that technically that position was incorrect because it is subject to the approval of the minister, of which the approval has not yet been obtained. So you're correct in that position. So I just want to clarify that that was the position that we that was put forward at the last meeting, but technically that wasn't correct. It's still subject to the approval of the minister. That's coming back to that position of being.
This is a serious problem because it seems that CEDAW finds out about legal requirements, by the way. You stumble upon them. You stumble upon legal and state requirements, government requirements. And if you look at the Auditor General's report, that is what the Auditor General in essence is saying. You don't know the PFMA. You didn't know about the requirements. Have any of you read through any of these documents? Do you understand these documents? Mr. Chowdhury? Have you read through these documents? Ms. Holtzman, I must say, just for the record, you weren't at that meeting. It was a different meeting. The Auditor General, those things that I read to you yesterday, that the Auditor General's findings, that Auditor General basically said, I'm sorry, but this is a very crude summary of what the Auditor General said. Management, and in some instances he refers to the council, is that he used the words, material misstatements, not being aware of the requirements. Second finding, not being aware of the requirements. Unfamiliar with the requirements of Treasury. Management is unfamiliar with the requirements of Treasury. Management not being aware of the requirements. This is now performance indicators. The next one is performance targets. Not verifiable. Management not being aware of the requirements. No, here he refers to the council, but we've established the problem in the council, so, but The accounting authority did not ensure that the public entity has and maintains an effective, efficient, and transparent system of internal control regarding performance management, which described and represented how the entity's processes of performance planning, monitoring, measurement, review, and reporting was conducted, organized and managed as required, and then it even gives the section of the PFMA. Why do you have this disregard for legal requirements? If I remember correctly, at that specific meeting, you were indicating an amount to us as well, of which you believe you're going to get for that building. 1.8, if I'm not mistaken. And I was thinking to myself, maybe I should put in an offer. Take the building down, put in parking there. Cover my monthly cost easily and make a profit. And that's why we're interested in this issue. We're not going to let it go. By when do you foresee this process to be finalized? Joking, by when?
Madam Chair, we will finalize the submissions to the Minister, and hopefully if the Office of the Minister approves, we should be able to finalize by the end of this year.
So from September, when you were here, we were told us that tomorrow, that was the Friday, if I'm not mistaken, this thing will be done, we can get the information by the Monday, October, November, December, 3 months later. You haven't even submitted the proposal to the Minister. You say we're going to finalize it. That's what you said just now. Can we move on? We are requesting the moment this thing is finalized, the full detail on this thing. All the tenders that got in, all the tenders. Members, I don't know how you feel, but I think we also need to know where you've advertised. The amount that it was sold for. Can you now return to the question of Honourable Ndlovu and Honourable George on the sundry issue?
Honourable Chair, may I ask my colleague on finance to provide the names, the details of the sundry income and other sundry income on the schedule?
Please.
The sundry income that is reported under sundry income once again is 122,000. It's made up of small incidentals, recovery of telephone, private telephone calls, and the documents sold, because we do not report on it separately. There's just too many smaller amounts that's included in there. And then the total of sundry income that's reported in the financial as a part of a note, you have other income, and under other income, there's sundry income of 21 million. And that's made up of certain services that we render. Does everyone have the schedule detailing that? Proceeds from insurance claims. I see there's other sundry income as well. We have a sundry income that comes from our debtors book, where people pay directly in, as well as money deposited directly into our bank account that we allocate to the two different sundry incomes.
That is the problem again, because a few years back you couldn't identify who was paying money into your bank account. Now you're paying debt, you're saying debt is paid in here, some of it, and the other is people that pay it in directly into your bank account. Debt collection should be separated from this. We actually sit at the end of that financial year. What was your financial status? The one that you are reporting on. How much money did you have? before you gave it back to Treasury, if you did give it back to Treasury, the total amount. It's a year you're reporting on, it shouldn't be difficult. CFO?
If I remember, I think it was 13 million.
I'm going to ask the researchers that the financial statements, as in the annual report, plus these extras, plus the presentation that was given by Sira yesterday around finances, if you would request also the researchers from the finance committee to have a look at them as well and come back to the committee on those, because there's clearly something not right here. You've got 30 million left that you ask SAPS to bail you out. Nothing is a secret. We know about these things. So why did you do that? It's not your money. It is not your money. Can we also ask the council to have a closer look at the financial situation on that issue? Outstanding question. Continue, please.
The last question was on the missing to explain the missing detail of council member the travelling expenses which were there in previous reports. The previous reports which indicated the such information was the last report was 2009-10, and it was an error for the inclusion of those amounts in the related party note. The related party note is in terms of the generally recognized accounting practices, which you are supposed to put arm-length transactions in there. Though in the 2009 financial statements, the amount that we put there was for expenses incurred by the authority in the normal course of business. For instance, a councillor would be flying to a meeting, and it was put there next to the council member as if the member received something out of that expense. That error was subsequently changed. And there is no reference to the member other than the executive chairperson who earns a salary, because he receives a salary with us. The other members do not earn an income from the authority, and therefore we do not disclose arm's-length transactions in the financials. Thank you.
Can I ask the researchers that issue also be checked? Because that's not my understanding of it. What was the cost of the chairperson of council's office? Traveling, etc., etc. Surely you should report on that. Traveling, the whole breakdown. We know exactly what the minister's office cost is. We know exactly every single amount. It's budgeted for before it's spent. What is it?
Thank you, Chairperson. We do not have those details in the annual report because they are part of the expenses. However, we can provide such expenditure to the committee.
Friday deadline. Honourable Molebasi.
Thank you, Chairperson. I don't know if this one, maybe I missed it. The one about the three staff members which were appointed for events management at that big amount. I can't even mention it, sir.
They're still answering questions, so let's continue with the answers. And I'll come back to members if there are outstanding questions. Continue with the answers, please.
Chairperson, honourable members. I've got three questions that I'm going to deliberate on. The first question was by the honourable Mr. Lekgetho, which read that what is the status with prosecution vacancies as are inspectors deployed there acting on an acting capacity or in a permanent capacity? The response to that was is that in view of the fact that legal services had a target of the reduction in turnaround time for inspections to prosecution, which target was 90 days. Historically, there was a backlog in so far as the age of the docket from inspection to prosecution, which was amounting to more than 2 years. We wanted to shorten that to 90 days. Hence, we deployed the three inspectors to the area of legal services to conduct prosecution. The reason for that was not that we had enough people in law enforcement. However, it was a contingency given the fact that we could not sit and fold our hands. We had to see the docket aging. So the two of them were deployed there on as a lateral transfer or on secondment basis because they were almost on the same level of employment with the prosecutors. Only one person was deployed there on an acting capacity because he was on a lower level of inspectors. Ever since the three were deployed there, we now can proudly say that we have, or we are about to reach the 90 days turnaround strategy as we are far less than 180 days turnaround as we speak. For once the finality of this, once we reach the 90 days turnaround, we will therefore consider their positions. We are working with the HR to ensure that the positions of the prosecutors are profiled, and we will know exactly how many we will need to advertise at the particular time.
You use three different terms for what has happened to them: lateral transfer, secondment, and something else. All three of those are completely different things. What is the situation?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The situation is that the two were seconded, in that they were laterally transferred.
You transfer somebody, that unit loses them permanently. If you second them, that unit can get them back at some point. What is the correct term?
They were seconded.
We're talking about basic governance terms that doesn't seem to be understood by CIRA. And this, I'm not talking governance in terms of the state now. Basic governance terms, transfers, continent. And if this meeting bores you, so you can go and have a break outside. Why is it that there's no understanding? Mr. Chowdhury, why?
Madam Chair, I do not think that there is an intention to mislead the House.
Sorry, mislead. I said understanding, no understanding.
I think it is the confusion of the use of terms. The Deputy Director understands very well. Perhaps it's the wrong choice of words. Madam Chair, we apologize for that.
With all due respect, we have established that there's confusion of terms. Again, it comes back to the Auditor General's findings. That your management do not understand. Continue, please. On your microphone.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That leads me to the second question, which was asked by the Honourable Chairperson. Regarding the regional offices and the satellite offices. The question was, what is the difference between the regional office and satellite offices in terms of their responsibilities? I will start with the difference. Satellite office provides primary service to our clients, whereas regional offices provide primary and secondary service to our clients. Primary services being receiving business applications, receiving individual applications, receiving payments of annual fees from our service providers, or issuing CIRA ID cards to the individual security officers, issuing of CIRA certificates to security officers, receiving complaints which they don't investigate, but forward them to the to head office, and then there is also an informal service that is rendered there, which is the provision of labor pool, because companies, when they are looking to hire security services, they come to our to these offices and get them to be hired, because they come early in the morning in those offices and they know where to find them.
You're working as labor brokers?
No, we're not. No, Madam Chair, we're not working as labor brokers. The offices, the security officers visit our office, those who are looking for work. They come and stand outside there. The security companies come, it is easy for security companies to come and find them there and check and verify their registration status with us immediately, so that they know that whoever they are employing is in fact registered and they can be trained.
Chair of the council, with all due respect, I think it is that one doesn't have to be a rocket scientist to see the corruption possibilities around this arrangement. And let it be noted, it was said it's a primary function of them. Any person is supposed to be, switch off the microphone please, any person is supposed to be able to check whether a person is a legal security officer. That was the intention, by putting that person's serial number into your website. Am I correct? Yeah. So why do private security officers need to go to a serial officers where companies can then come and employ them? Honourable Nabati first and then Mr. Lord.
It was an easy explanation. He said they do not investigate cases, but they refer them to head office to do what? For head office to do what? Thank you.
Honourable Lord. No, Jefferson, I wanted to get it clear. Did my brother say that the security companies come to them, and then I'm looking for a job, or come to their offices? These two people meet in their offices. For what? What?
Labor brokering.
No. I'm asking this chairperson on a principle note. You want to employ me as your security company in your company, and there are the people who are supposed to check you so that you are employing me on a good conduct. Why I have to go to them? Why don't you go to them with all my particulars? If you want to employ me, why should we meet there? I'm trying to correlate this triangle. What does this triangle mean?
Glover, you're 100% correct. This is a very, very dangerous and unacceptable situation. It really is. And I really think one... And I mean, I saw it at your office in here in Cape Town. I saw it. You go to that office now. There are strings of security officers.
All officers.
Standing there. I think in order to move forward on this issue, I'll come to you, Deputy Chair of the Council, we want the following. For each of your satellite offices, the number of staff in the office, the designation of the staff members, what are they, who are they, what positions do they hold? number of cases referred, any of those primaries that you spoke about. Give us a year report, this financial year that we are under report, of all of those satellite offices. So how many cases did they refer to national? Every one of those primary functions that you spelled out. I would also like to be interested, because you listed it, not us, as one of the primary functions, this bringing together of security officers looking for work and companies looking for security officers. So report on that as well. The same for your regional offices. Also the number of personnel per regional office. Destination. What is the job they are doing, each of them? Ms. Molapati.
On that one of cases, even the nature of the cases.
Yes, Dito. And what happened to that case? Is there an outcome? The same for your regional offices. And I would presume, since we're talking about a financial year and the review, that that information is not difficult to get hold of, since I'm sure as management you would have looked at those things. And if you didn't, might be an interesting exercise for yourself as well. Also, can we ask through the council members to Sira, for each of those offices, the cost of the area office. Rental, personnel, sundry. You please.
Thank you, Chair. The Chair was still explaining, clarifying the issue of, I was on record saying that the function of the security officer standing is not what we provide. I said it is accidentally or informal. Because if I may explain, Madam Chair, is that these activities don't even take place in our premises. They happen outside. I'm happy that the members and the chairperson also bear testimony to this, that you find a string of cues there. Those transactions of hiring of employment take place outside our premises, and we have no control over it.
So can I tell you about accidental? A few years back, I served on the Home Affairs Committee. We did a visit to the Resick Street Home Affairs Office. An accidental to Home Affairs responsibilities. One of the Home Affairs officials had a wedding facility in the building. Proudly showing it to us. People come in. He provides them with a fake wedding cake, fake whatever else, for them to take photographs and they pay. That's what happened with accidental. There's no such thing as accidental. And I can tell you again, it does not happen outside your premises. It happens inside your premises. I'll walk you down to the office down here. And it's an office that I often see, because the ANC's provincial office is in that same building. Very same building. An accidental to that, I see what is happening in that office. And it's not happening outside. I don't know. I really think this is a problem. I'm sorry. I mean, accidental to that, it's a problem. Can I give the councillor an opportunity to respond, or you want to come before?
Gentlemen, Madam Chair. They are the cause of the thing. He said it himself. This thing that is out of your control is not there. These people can't go. You said these companies go there, they find you, they come to you to verify. But that should not be happening in your offices. If you were not giving service to those security companies, those people will not go there. So don't say it, no, it's out of your control. You have created it. That's why I was wondering now, what the shepherd's been in your country of hawks? Because the way you behave now, I think you need hawks to investigate. Now, I don't know, because shepherd's in a hawks is compromised. Because he must start investigating himself. Because how do you allow a transaction, which you know is illegal, which you know is not supposed to be like that, and then you come here and claim that, no, it's out of your control? Because if security companies are coming to you, saying, you've got these people, we want them to verify, say, no, no, we don't operate like that. We will send our inspector. We will check. Go and do your employment somewhere. Those people will not be there. But because you service them, so it's not out of control, you have created it.
Honourable Chair and members, I think the seriousness of the issue is not going unnoticed or is not understood by council, and I would imagine that from your office, Sarah, because it has serious implications. And I think the issue that we are driving for and striving for is an entity, an authority that has integrity, and that would also provide that oversight in the industry. So it is an area, whether or not corruption is taking place, the potential for that being a high-risk area for the location of a meeting spot is there. So it's something that the council would look at. Chair, I would just say, I'm saying that really with a desperation, because we've done in another capacity the assessment of where the institutional risk areas are for mismanagement, corruption, non-compliance, and sometimes it's around the physicality, besides systems. So it is something that we would look at, how and where that we would address, but that is duly noted, Honourable Member George and Chair, is something we'll take up. And whilst I'm saying that there's sort of a real seriousness to the issue and concerning with a fellow council is duly placed also in terms of his capacity to do that, I'm very mindful of the fact that council is this is what you have. So those issues we probably would have to, there's a long list of things we need to do, but that is a priority area that should be investigated, because it's something that potentially can place the integrity and the position of the entity at high risk for potential corruption.
I can tell you, when the lift in that building is not working, you need to take the stairs. You have to fight your way open to get through the floors. And it's the queues is out. It comes from your office, inside the office, outside. And it's really, it's a very, very unhealthy situation. Continue, please. I think we on the regional and the offices, we've given you clear instruction on what we want, so you can pass on to the next question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The second question, which was also asked by the Honourable Chairperson, was can you explain the page 18 of the report on the registration where it indicates that you had no spending, a pending registration application? Honourable Chair, this was an unfortunate error in the layout of the columns when printed. The second subsequent number must merely move to the right to each to be under their own perspective heading. What actually happened, the columns there are five instead of four. The first column should read the business application received during the year 2011-2012, which is 1,601. The second column supposed to be the business application received during the 2011-2012, which is 1,066. Then third column should be the business application rejected during the year 2011-2012, which is 464. Then the last column, the business application in progress during the year 2012, which number is 77. I also note that when you add those numbers, it will appear that the number should be 77. The other six is carried from the previous years. So it
there's six that are outstanding for more than a year.
No, they were not outstanding for more than a year. When the year under which it was reported, it's not necessarily those that were from.
With all due respect, you're reporting from 1st of April to 31st of March. If they were from the previous financial year, they were before the 1st of March.
They were before,
the 1st of April of that year. So it's a year. It's a year later if they see.
Yes, it refers to those applications that were received, for instance, in March, and they were carried over to April, and they were the first ones that during the first week of April of the following year they were disposed of first. They were attended to first.
Professor, can we go back to the principle? Not just the years now. Is that document being edited? This document that he is talking about now. Who audited that document before it comes to the parliament, before it goes to the minister and to parliament? If it's not audited properly, is that a professional document that should come from CIRA to parliament and then be corrected after it's been found by a member of parliament? Is that supposed to be done? Is that a professional way of doing documentation? It doesn't matter what the chairperson is asking, but I'm asking the principal question now. If you produce a document and you can't audit a document and the document goes all over the show and somebody who took the document yesterday is not here today, he's got that mistake and you can't correct that mistake because he's not there. Because it's a public document. And if the chairperson didn't see that document, that means the document would be gone with mistakes. That's a professional thing you have to do it.
Honourable Law is reading my mind because I was also thinking about it. Since 11 o'clock that we came back, I'm counting the number of times that we say, apologies, it was a mistake. Apologies, it was an oversight. And this was now the fifth time since 11 o'clock. The fifth time. How, if that simply means how reliable is the rest of the document? How reliable is anything in this document? Who drafted your document? Who compiled the document?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I must start again by apologizing for the mistakes that are in the annual report. I think it's only good that we apologize where the mistakes are.
You've got to do more than that, Mr. Jovi. Sorry. You've got to do more than that. The fact of the matter is, switch off your microphone. According again to the PFMA, you've now got to ask the minister, you've got to submit to the minister, Ed Arthur, that he must now table in parliament to say, on page so-and-so, this is the mistake. On page so-and-so, this is the mistake. On page so-and-so, this is the mistake. That's what's got to happen now. We had a situation where yesterday or the day before, where a minister in the House also had to do it because of a mistake that was in I don't know whether you remember, yesterday, the Minister of Women and Children and People with Disabilities. That is the same thing. You've now got to table an erratum on every single mistake in this annual report. Who compiled this report?
Thank you, Madam Chair. We will proceed to compile the erratum as advised by the committee. And once again, we apologize for the mistakes. The process of compiling the annual reports is we consolidate reports from the various departments, and as before they come to the executive management, we go, the various departments will then edit the documents, we edit back, we refer them back before they come to us, and we also give it to other people who have to look at it, because because sometimes reading the same thing that you've written again and again and again, you might read over, even all over a mistake. So we put effort, we acknowledge that we have to put more effort into the editing of these documents that come before the court. And once again, apologies.
Sorry, who printed your document? Who was the printer? It's another legal requirement that's not on this document.
Madam Chair, I can obtain the details of the actual printer who printed it.
Printer cost.
Madam Chair, well, of course, you have asked now to, because I wanted to know the process, because what is the involvement of the council? Does the document not go to the council? Because there are a lot of things here. I didn't ask questions because I was worried that you might stay the whole night and probably not close when other people go. You see, questions which the council also. Just one example, Madam Chair. There were the vacancy of prosecution division. There were vacant rights according to the could the report which you that is the annual report and also the report. You ask yourself, how would you do your work? And then I heard him talking about this and that. But my question, Madam Chair, to go back to it, what is the role of the council in this document?
Members, I'm going to allow the council quickly to respond to that, and then I want us to finalise the questions, because it's 12:30 already. And I personally still have outstanding questions. I'm not talking about the ones of yesterday, I'm talking that I have a further lot of questions that I would like to ask. So continue. Council, I think part of the problem is we look at this report is that council only met twice in that year. And therefore, I think, members, it's clear that the suggestion that we are making in the amendment bill, that it meets at least four times a year, is the correct decision to make. Any one of the council members, do you want to add something to that?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. You're spot on, and I think that's part of the functionality that was explained. Council met twice. There was a process that was happening outside. And I think maybe it's further to note that prior to that, council met at least four times. In the reporting year was the least times, it was actually only just twice, and since then we've been meeting more often, and that is where also the issues that we're raising, that with the blurring of lines and the functionality, etc., and it's reflected in the process and the issues raised, the council's issues.
But Deputy Chair, I think we also will fail in our duty if we don't remind you that according to the Act, any council member can request for a meeting as well. So I think also what we're asking in council members is when you see things are not happening, that you also proactively ask for those meetings to take place. Can we continue with the questions, please?
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. That was the last question that I had to ask. Thank you.
Continue, please.
Honourable Chairperson and the Honourable Committee Members, I've got a few questions that I'm responding to, which are HR related. The Honourable Committee Member asked about the sick and incapacity leave and where she wanted to get details about the administration of leave. I will respond by saying that the leave administration of the entire organization is managed centrally by the Human Capital Division, and the employee self-service system was introduced to enhance the controls regarding the leave management and administration. In addition, the authority has a leave policy which regulates the utilization of leave by employees, and the attendance register we made available to all departments to be completed and submitted to Human Division on monthly basis. There is a dedicated person from Human Capital Division who is responsible to administer the leave And the categories of leave which have been informed by approved policy are annual leave, sick leave, additional sick leave, study leave, and special leave. The incapacity leave is currently not addressed by our leave policy. We therefore thank the Honourable Member for mentioning this leave category. And further investigation will be conducted to see how this category can be applied in our environment.
Just on this, again, it's a display of not knowing the PFMA requirements. The Honourable Member now reminds you about something that is there. Maybe we should ask that the members take over running CIRA. Continue, please.
The Honourable Member also requested us to come up with a composition of the Office of the Director. The Office of the Director is comprised of the Director and his PA and the Chairperson of the Council and his PA and two senior investigators and one investigator and one investigator. I think in total we'll make seven people. In terms of the cost, as I've also requested to supply the personal cost for all those seven people who are working on that division, I'll ask the Honourable Chairperson to just give me an opportunity to quickly open it on the system so that I can take the committee through. Referring to the year under review, the total package of the director is sitting under 1,025,000 per annum. It's 1,025,115. 1,025,115. And the total package of the chairperson is 1,441,969. And the two senior investigators that I've met, that I referred to, they receive the basic salary of 319,554 per annum, plus other benefits, which comprise medical and pension company contribution.
But why do you report to us on the package of the race, but here you say plus? What is the package? What's the total cost to company?
The total cost, Madam Chair, the total cost to company is the package that is inclusive of all other benefits that are required.
That amount?
Madam Chair, unfortunately, with regard to the senior investigator and the investigator, I didn't put the total amount as they are on the basic salary option. Hence, I've indicated their basic salary and in addition is their medical and their pension contribution.
Unacceptable. It's unacceptable. We made it quite clear what we asked yesterday. You reported correctly for, I hope, for the director and for the chairperson, but you don't report it correctly for the rest. You will provide us by Friday the total cost for the senior investigators.
Honourable Chair, I will ensure that the required information is provided. Continue with the questions that were raised.
You're not done. There's still an investigator and two PAs.
The investigator is getting the annual basic salary of 252,559 per annum, which is not including the medical contribution, which on top of that will make sure that the same information is provided on a total package. The chairperson PA or the PA to the chairperson is getting the basic salary of 319,554 per annum, which excludes the medical contribution and the company contribution.
Sorry, can you repeat that?
The PA to the chairperson, the basic salary on annual basis is 319,554. The same as in an investigator, is correct, Honourable Chair?
You please. The other PA?
The PA to the director is also getting 319,554 basic salary on an annual basis, excluding the benefits of medical and company contribution.
Sorry, I must be mishearing, Chair. Am I hearing that senior investigators are paid the same as the secretaries? Is that what we just heard? I thought I must be dreaming. I thought I must be absolutely dreaming. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
PAs are getting more than investigators.
Oh, more. Sorry, I've got it wrong. More
oh,
than
no, investigators. No, but senior investigators. Same as senior investigators. You got it right. Same as senior investigators, more than an investigator. Honourable Stuber.
Gee, that is just the salary part. What is the other amount to get to the total cost of the company? Because we still don't have the total cost.
You see, if he doesn't have it available, then they will give it
medical
to us.
And the other.
If he doesn't have it available, even though that was the original question, they will give it to us by Friday.
Can I then just ask, of what does the other component comprise of? Is it only medical, or is it medical, car allowance, housing allowance, telephone allowance? Can we just get the breakdown of that? What is the other?
Provide the breakdown, please. What will come to you?
Madam Chair, I was going to ask you, because you said something, because the more I hear this thing, the more I am convinced. You said the minister has instructed accounting to investigate. He's going to investigate all this. No, then I'll rest my case, because I am now convinced this needs to be investigated.
It's also clear, members, but for me, over and above the salary issue, that it's a very unhealthy situation. We come back to the fact that your chairperson and the blurring of lines that the council spoke about, that your chairperson and your director, chairperson is the oversight and the director is, it's one office basically. And that in itself is unhealthy. It shouldn't be budgeted this way. It should reflect chairperson's office. It should reflect director's office. It's an unhealthy situation. There's also discrepancies in these figures. And the figures that you provided to us in what was the thing? In the September meeting. So there's again, Mr. Chokri, discrepancies.
Chairperson, my question: when they do these documents, do they compare these documents to the other entities or to the other departments? Because if you go to the other department, you see that the ministry and the DG and the rest, do they compare these documents? You see, I find this very strange, you know. We're talking about the entity of the government does not do the same thing as what other departments are doing. I find it very strange because it's totally outside the line. As you are saying that the chairperson is lumped with the director and so on and so forth, but do they compare these documents and put another document here and say this is the line of how the reporting and I find this very strange.
Listen, Law, I don't find it strange. Just read the Auditor General's findings. These people do not know what is required of them, or they do not care what is required of them. Mr. Chowdhury, even with your own salary that was given to us in September, there's a discrepancy. And yet the document provided by you, by CIRA, to us. I wonder whether it would help in any way, but I don't think it would, to remind CIRA about the fact that it is actually, that one can actually go to jail for lying to Parliament. I don't think it would help. It's punishable with a jail term. And the problem is, Honourable Ndlovu, part of the problem is that CIRA, like so many others before them, believes that this committee does not prepare. They do not read, they do not refer back so we can get away with anything. I promise you, this is not true for this committee. Again, Council, can we ensure that we get the correct figures on this? There's a almost 19,000 difference between the figure that was provided to us in September and the figure that is provided to us now. Continue, please.
Honourable Chairperson, one of the questions which was asked by the Honourable Committee Member was about the Events Management Division at CIRA, or what are these three people doing. In responding, we indicated that they are managing all events within the authority and marketing to ensure that all planned official events are hosted professionally, as well as to communicate a positive image and brand and reputation and positioning of the authority by coordinating the designing and the development of marketing products within the approved marketing strategy. And the division that we're talking about is comprised of three people. We have a manager and the coordinator and the front desk consultant whose responsibility is to receive visitors in the head office and also ensuring that the boardrooms are available and ready for the meetings.
Members, let's just continue because I mean it's really not so. It's absolutely not.
No. I won't allow that to have to pass checkers. No, I don't.
Sorry, can I have one of the members on the floor, please?
Three people, madam. You appoint a manager, and amongst them, and then you appoint a coordinator. So it means these two, because he's also doing one, they manage it. You employ this person. Because once you give him a title, you go to give him a salary to manage one person. Is that what you are hearing? You, why do I get the impression that you are in a business where you say, how do we distribute money amongst ourselves? Because that's the impression now. How do we make sure that everybody gets something? Because that's what we are doing now. PAs are paid far more than even the PAs of presidents and other people, ministers. So your PAs are living in, you've got your own country within South Africa.
Honourable Ndlovu, Honourable Molebatsi, Ms. Kulabanga.
Chairperson, may I be excused? I really don't want to feel very cross about this. Because when we ask these questions, we just want it to be understood of why we ask the questions. But we cannot allow the answers to be made, this Chairperson. We can't allow the answers to be made. That is my problem. We are really not really going to allow the answers to be like this. Because these are professional people. They know exactly what they are saying to us. They know what they are doing to us. But I don't want to be treated like this, really.
Honourable Kulabang. Honourable Molebatsi, sorry, and then Honourable Kulabang.
Thanks, Chair. Mine is, what happened? Because definitely you can't be having events to manage daily. What happens in an event, there are no events to manage. What happened?
Kulabang.
Chair, I would ask if you, as the acting chair, could have the investigation into the salaries extended. I think we need to call for professional job descriptions of every single division, and I want to know if there's anyone who's related to anyone who's been employed in this company. Is this an employment agency for friends and family and relatives? I don't know. We don't know. I would like an answer to that. Because not in this lifetime do you employ someone, call them a coordinator, and they're a person who books a boardroom. That is a secretarial job, and somebody's giving jobs to pals. And to, if you, what events? Events. What events? I'm absolutely speechless. And even if they do have events, whatever they are, surely not three or four times a year. So they pay the full-time salary for three people. I want to know if this is a job, maybe an employment agency for friends and relatives. I can't believe what we're hearing here. I cannot believe it.
Members, I want also you to answer clearly, what is events? And do you consider meetings to be events? You must explain to us what is events and how many events were held, what type of events were held. But the fact of the matter is, referring to the Honourable Kulabana's request, nothing stops this committee in our report, like we've done previously with certain appointments and such, is to ask the Public Service Commission to look at this issue. And I think that's exactly what we will be doing. To have a proper, but in the meantime, CIRON will provide to this committee a complete and total organogram of CIRON. Regional offices, satellite offices, head office, everything. With the names of the people, the salaries of the people, the title of the people, the job title of the people. Every single person in CIRON's employment. And we want that, Deputy Chair, by next week Friday. I'm giving you a week for that because it will not influence our report. We already know what we want to say. I want to move on because we're running out of time. They haven't finished all the questions yet.
Chair, did they consult the Public Service Commission?
They didn't. If you remember correctly, I had to explain to them last week when we were doing the legislation and what the PSA is. Can we continue, please?
Thank Thank you, Honorable Chair. There was a question that was raised by the Honorable Members where they need more explanation with regard to page 50.
Answer these issues on the events first. What is an event?
The issues that were raised on page 50 of the annual report was the issue, the total package or the personal expenditure, which was indicated for the assets.
Did you not hear me? Did you not understand what my request is? I said first answer, and if you can't answer it, somebody from CIRA answer. What is an event? What is classified as an event, and how many events that you have in that financial year?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The kind of events that we would have at CIRA is the your industry forums that
they weren't there. They weren't there.
Yes, I acknowledge that they weren't there, Madam Chair. But those are the, I'm just trying to give the committee a sense of the kind of events that the events department would be coordinating and arranging, as well as the strategic plans that we host every year, the imbusos, that is now the team building sessions for inspectors, those are the kind of events that they arrange. And if we also plan for road shows, they will do so. But under this financial year, I acknowledge that we haven't done the events as planned due to reasons given by Madam Chair. Thank you.
Sorry, so you are admitting three people were appointed doing nothing. That's what you're acknowledging.
That's a principal question.
That's a principal question, yeah.
That's a principal answer.
That doesn't justify you. What you're saying to us is not justifiable. The PAs in your office can arrange the strategic planning. The PAs in your office can arrange the imbusos. Since when do you have imbusos? What is clear is that the members request that we look at CIRA and what is happening in CIRA with a very, very, very fine comb is valid.
Yes, that's what you said.
You had no events. Three people were paid a salary to do nothing. And you've got the audacity to report as you've got one vacancy in that area. You shouldn't appoint another person. You should not even have the fee that you have. You have no relationship with the industry that we've established. CIRA is a disgrace. Continue, please.
Honorable Chairperson, as I've alluded before, that one of the questions was with regard to page 50 of the annual report, where a member of member of the committee has indicated that the figure that has been attached to the asset management division, does it make sense, looking at the fact that the person or an employee who's attached to that division is only one person? I would like to apologize, Honorable Chairperson, that there was a misprint there on that figure, and that will be fixed.
Tell us the correct figure. And this is apology number 7 now, since 11 o'clock. Continue, please. Here you go.
Honorable Chairperson, the figure of the Asset Management Division on that division is supposed to be 766626, which is underneath the figure that is 1328185. It has to go to the facility management. There was a swap of figures on that category.
You understand why we say council members? That how do we trust anything in this report, because it now impacts on the financial statements as well. And I'm almost too scared to ask what is the facilities management. I'm almost too scared. Honourable Stewart.
Chair, you see, the explanation, I really don't know what's going on here, because the figures were swapped. Let's say the figures were swapped, the 766 needs to be with asset management. I can take that. But then if you take the salary cost, the previous year was 371 for one person in 2011. Now it's almost double it's in 2012. It doesn't add up. There's something, there's a 100% increase in salary there for one person. There's no place in the world that you get a job that you get a 100% salary increase within a year. And people must understand that we're sitting here, we're working with figures daily. That's what we do. That's our job. Our job is to legislate and to oversight. And we are calculating. And I said it yesterday. This whole page, it doesn't add up. And there's no explanation for that. I don't know how we're going to fix this, because we're going to carry on along this list. We haven't been, we're on the first line item now. We haven't gone through it, and we are not going to get to any conclusion on this. What's the solution here? I don't know, Chair. I would like you to make a ruling here. How are we going to fix this?
Honourable George, I want us not to discuss this issue now. We're coming to it. I want them to finish the questions at least that we've asked yesterday, please, because it's almost 1 o'clock, and then we're going to summarise, because we need to apply our minds. What are we doing about this? Council, you can clearly see our problem. Because this impacts right through. It impacts throughout this whole document. It's ridiculous. It's a waste of members' time. Maybe we must bill you for our salaries this past 2 days. Can you quickly answer all the other questions? And please stop repeating the questions. We know what we asked. Just answer the questions, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The last question is with regard to the fixed term contract figure, which is showing on the report, which is 2,297,302. That represents the number of fixed term contracts which were engaged in the financial year under review, in which we had 27 positions which were done on a fixed term contract.
I don't understand what you're saying. I honestly don't understand what you're saying. 27 fixed term contracts, total salary cost of 2011, nothing.
I beg your pardon?
7 fixed contracts, that's what you said, right?
Yes.
Total salary cost 2011, zero.
What happened when we report the salaries on the previous financial year? The the salaries for the fixed time contracts were together with the salaries of the staff members on particular division. So now the salary for the contract.
Hang on.
Just to come back. This is now, it was the last question. That wasn't the last question. That was the last question that I asked yesterday. There was other discrepancies also in this breakdown of the salaries. That was the last one. But what we asked explicitly was how many contracts, to who was the contract, for what was the contract. Now 27, was that 27 extra personnel on your permanent staff members? And if it wasn't on your staff membership and it was fixed contract, for what purpose were those people given fixed contracts? That's what we asked.
Continue, please. Give the answer.
Thank you. We do have a list of where we break down all the positions and...
We know you have a list. Where is the list for the members? That was the question yesterday.
We'll provide the list.
No. We're not leaving this room before that list is in front of members. This question was raised. You can leave. I will stay here. I will wait. But they're not leaving this room. This question was asked yesterday. You were very comfortable to give us this morning, which is still full of mistakes. But you're not giving us what we asked for yesterday. Where is that list?
Honourable Chairperson, I do have the list. I'll give it to you.
You are going to send one of the many people that are sitting around you to go and make copies. And they can bring it back to the members now. And it should have been done this morning already. Yeah, where's the events coordinator?
That's where I have a problem. You see, when I raised this problem at the beginning, now when I said I'm feeling very cross about it, now I can see all members now, they're getting crosser and crosser most of the time. It's because that's what I said. Because if we are going to be responded the way we are being responded now, that means we are not going anywhere. We are not really achieving our goals. But it's not done by mistake. It's deliberately done. Now, that's a problem I have. That is why I'm feeling very cross about this thing.
They must make that available. I agree with you totally. I still have a list of questions that I want to ask. Mr. George has a list of questions that he wants to ask. I'm almost feeling like telling the technical committee to stay away, we're still busy. Because if you really thought for 1 second that delaying tactics and irritating us is going to make it better for you, that was the wrong decision. That was the wrong decision. In fact, it had exactly the opposite effect. This committee is not scared of working. We leave police station 9, 10, 11 o'clock at night, being there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Unlike you, we're not scared of working. We will sit here until we get everything that we want. If it means we call you back next week during committee week, we will call you back. We will sit during night if necessary. But I'm not going to allow this committee to be treated with this disdain and this respect that we've been shown by Tiro today. Members, I need to make a ruling on what we do. I do not want, I think quite frankly, the sooner we deal with this bowl before us, the better, given the current situation. Can I just check with the committee secretary, is next week committee week? There is still an oversight week, members, hang on. Where
the other side. Yes. 27th of November to the 2nd of December is committee week. We are supposed to be going to the Free State in that week. I do not want to cancel the Free State again, but nothing is stopping us going to the Free State a day later and deal with these people again on that day. It's the safest place in South Africa. No, I'm trying to apply my mind to what we should be doing.
Well, could you assume my second?
I would suggest to members the following. That we have on that Tuesday, we were going to fly out to Free State on the Monday evening so that we could start the Tuesday morning. That we rather come back here and then we leave together from here and we spend the Tuesday still this year. And I want to make it take off that. We're not interested in whether you have a day. You were supposed to be giving it to us. Take it off, please. I thought I made it clear that copies be made to members. And sit down and please pay attention to what we are saying. That we come back here on that Tuesday. We deal with Sira. From 9:30 that morning, we place together the flight out to Bloemfontein that afternoon. And I want to make it clear, and I'm asking the council to make it clear to the authorities sitting here. Well, you know what? It actually pains me to use the word authority. To the entity that's sitting here. That we will not stand for the type of answers that we've been provided today. You continue with this, you leave us no choice. If we come back here on that week and you continue in this vein, you will leave this committee no choice but to call the minister regarding this issue. In summary, the list of everything that we've asked throughout the day, with the exception of the organogram which we give you until next Friday. And we want this list, sir, before we leave this building, I hope somebody has gone to make copies of it. And if somebody didn't go, I don't know what the misunderstanding is. Let somebody go. I hope that someone is not in Pretoria. There's every single issue with the exception of the following two. The organogram with the positions, and I'm adding now to it, the names of every single person, the qualifications of every single person. Well, the problem is that we are now depend on them to be honest about it. We will ask the Public Service Commission to do it. With the salaries of every single person. And the job description of every single person. I don't care if it's a document this thick. Must reach the committee secretary by no later than 12 o'clock next week Friday. No later. 12 o'clock. Not 4 o'clock, not end of business, 12 o'clock. The only other exception, Mr. Choke, is the issue of the building, the sale of the building. We expect that to be communicated to this committee the moment it has been finalized. And believe me, we will know when it was finalized. This is, you know, normally this committee have subs here for 4 days, 4 or 5 days. We carry on until 8 o'clock in the evening, sometimes even later. We have robust engagement with them. But we've never been treated the way we've been treated today. And it's, as the Honourable Steward said, this committee and all other committees of Parliament deal with figures on a daily basis. Such budget is 63 billion rand. 63 billion rand. And yes, there might be things that slips past us, that such can pull the wool over our eyes, but I can tell you, there are as many things as this committee will expose and have exposed in the past. You are letting the people of South Africa down. I can't speak for somebody else's conscience, but if I was in any of your positions, I would have difficulty sleeping at night. Knowing that I've been entrusted with a responsibility, and still the human resource manager is so bored that he keeps on yawning. You have been entrusted with a responsibility that directly affects the security of the people of this country. And you are failing. You are dramatically failing. Our report will reflect that. It's not going to be sugar-coated. Mr. Tsuyoki, when you come back here on that Tuesday, you will also have gone through this annual report. And every single mistake in this annual report will be put on pages for the members. And we expect by that time that you've also alerted the minister to it so that he can table it. In fact, that should happen even before you come back. I think you need to do some soul searching. And quite frankly, if you are not interested to do the job that you are employed to do, then make way for people who are. Make way for those who are. If you cannot take yourself seriously, you cannot expect this committee to take yourself seriously. I'm also going to ask that the researchers, in terms of that finance report, speak to your colleagues and just have a look at it so that we are prepared for the meeting on that day. No, that's fine. We are requesting the council to do what is necessary to ensure that when Sira comes back before us on that Tuesday, that we do not have a repeat of the situation. You can be sure that this committee's program next year will focus on you. You've not seen anything in terms of oversight yet. We will visit your offices. We will visit your satellite offices. We will visit your regional offices. We will conduct inspections of our own. And believe me, we can. And you've brought it onto yourself. Members, the meeting is adjourned until 2 o'clock when we start with the bill. Thank you. Leave their stuff here. There is lunch outside. There's lunch outside, and we will be back here too.